Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Well, happy new year, everyone. And what a crazy last year has been, I think, for all of us in our own way. And now it's a new, fresh year. And I wanted to dedicate this show on really your self-care, my self-care, and what it is we need to do to move forward in the right direction that God is calling us all to go in. We all have an assignment on our lives and things God is asking us to do in our own heart. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy to pick up that cross that God is asking us. Sometimes it's blessings that He gives us. But with that being said, you can't do anything if you aren't taking care of yourself, if you aren't doing what's best for you mentally, spiritually, physically. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's hard with demands of life and work and kids, and married life, college, whatever state in life that you're living right now. There's always difficulties and challenges when it comes to taking care of yourself. Or maybe you've just been so overwhelmed with the last year and you don't want to, you don't care, and you've kind of fallen away and you're just kind of stuck. I don't know. Maybe some of you are stuck. But regardless of where you're at in your life, I wanted this show just to be dedicated to what it is you need to do for you. And we're going to have some great advice from Kimberly Hahn, Claire Dwyer, and then also towards the end of the show, just what you can do to maybe take care of your marriages as well, because I have heard of a lot of marriages just really struggling right now as well, just with the craziness of the world and the challenges and the new challenges of life. A lot of people are struggling. And if you are one of those people, that you're not alone, that everyone's going through something right now, and just know it's okay. And that, not one person, I don't think, has it fully together or ever can fully have it together, because you're really walking that Catholic life and really trying to live your faith. You're going to have challenges and you're going to have, things coming at you, and nothing's going to be perfect because the evil one is going to attack us in different ways and forms in our life, and we have to be ready and prepared for it. But one thing that we can do is just try to take care of ourselves. And like I said, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, we all probably can do better, be better, and the new year is a great way to start off. So with that being said, we are first, before we get into it with Kimberly Hahn and Claire Dwyer, we are also going to hear from Melissa Foley. So we're going to start off with her, and we'll end the show with Matt Frad and some advice throughout this show from Dr. Kimberly Chapion. So I hope you enjoy.
Ladies, I'm Melissa Foley, and I don't know about you, but there are some days that I really struggle with being the best wife and mom I know God is calling me to be. And on those days, I try to ground myself in the truth that I am a beloved daughter of a loving Father. And one of the ways that I do that, well, four ways I do that, are what I call my four R-nots. Okay, you ready for this? Number one, you are not what you do. That means that you cannot earn the Father's love. He's all in. He's loved you from all eternity, so you do not have to have some frantic life running around trying to prove your worth. Sister, He loves you. Two, you're not what you have. Sometimes we also spend a lot of our time and energy trying to externally prove our worth. There's no need for that. God the Father loves us, and when we stay grounded right there, it brings us a lot of peace. Number three, you are also not what people say about you, unless what they say about you is something that the Father would say to you. Then you can accept it. And finally, number four, you're not how you feel. Sometimes during the day, we can have dramatic highs and pretty low lows. But when we root ourselves in our identity, what happens is that instead of riding these drastic waves, we have more like speed bumps in our day. And that can also bring you a lot of peace. Okay? So just to review, you're not what you do. You're not what you have. You're not what you feel. You're not what other people say about you. You are a beloved daughter of a loving father. And I pray that this will help you so, so very much in your life. God bless you.
Hello, I have a question about finding time to take care of myself. I know that God is calling me to love selflessly, and I do that through taking care of my children and my family. But when it comes to taking care of myself, how do I do that? How do I find that balance without feeling guilty, without feeling that I need to be taking care of my family or doing something for my children? How do I do that and still feel like I'm being a good mom?
Welcome back. Today, our guests are Kimberly Hahn and Claire Dwyer. Ladies, thank you for coming to the Women Made New set. It's really an honor to have you. Now, we are talking specifically about self-care in and out, and we just heard that wonderful question from Erin. And what advice do you have for women? Because it is really hard and difficult to find that balance. If you have your family, you have your husband, you have all these things coming at you, and how do you not feel selfish in that, that you're taking time away from the things that are so important? Like, where do you fit in all of that?
Right. I think we actually have to give ourselves permission to even look at the question. You know, when Jesus was asked to summarize the law, he said to love God with everything in your being and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think we almost need to reverse that and say, I need to love myself the way I love my neighbor. Yes. I would not say to neighbors the things that I will say to myself in terms of
your self-talk.
Self-talk.
You're
not
is
worth
huge.
It, or you don't yes. have the time, or I would be the first one to say, oh, you need to take time. You need to care for yourself. But I don't say it to myself. So
that's
I think we begin there by saying, yeah, this is actually something that honors the Lord, that I appreciate and care for the woman he's made me.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to recognize that this is a tactic of the devil to get us to think that we can't take care of ourselves. You know, it's the devil can't be creative. He can't come up with anything new. So he has to take a truth and distort it and turn it into a lie so that it becomes an occasion of sin or desolation for us. And in this case, the truth is that a woman's soul is fashioned to be a shelter in which other souls may unfold. That's one of my favorite saints, St. Mm-hmm. Teresa Benedict of the Cross. So that is true, that we are made and we are created to be for the other mm-hmm. and to give life and to nurture life. But what is not true is that we need to give until we're broken. Right? Because then nobody's safe in a shelter where the door is unhinged and the roof is leaking.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happens. And we've all been there. We've been unhinged. It's not pretty. It's not God's will.
We do get to those points where we're unhinged and then we're kind of ashamed of ourselves. Like, oh, I lost it again.
Right.
Or, oh, there I go again. Or even our family was like, mom's losing it again, you know? And it's frustrating because I have these piles of laundry. I am pregnant with my 10th child, you know, and there's a lot going on in our household. And sometimes I feel so defeated before I even get out of bed sometimes, you know, it's just like, how on earth on those days do you literally just say, no, you know what? All of this is exploding, but I'm going to go take time for me, you know, like those, like that healthy balance that I think that's where our prayer life comes in, because it's really not your outer, just the outer. It's also how you're taking care of what's going on interiorly. Mm-hmm. And I think the strength that you have interiorly will come out exteriorly. Right?
Right.
And if you aren't taking care of your spiritual soul that God gave you as that strength, like you have to have that spiritual inventory. That's what I'm trying to get at. The spiritual inventory that we take on a daily basis as women, I think is very important, because sometimes I wake up and I don't have time to pray, and other days I've got time to do my breviary. Like it just is that balance. So what kind of things do you do in your own lives that you're taking care of your interior and also exterior?
Mm-hmm. I think beginning with my soul, which is the most significant. It's not the most obvious. Mm-hmm. My body is probably the most obvious to onlookers, but my soul is really the core of who I am and of what God calls me to be I've got to respond with my soul. So I think it comes to a commitment, even if it's a few minutes, even if it's 5 minutes, to do a morning offering. And any child can be put on hold, apart from a runny diaper, you know, coming out the side. Then there can be an exploding diaper. You may have to stop.
Yes.
But to just say, mommy needs 5 minutes.
Yes.
And to go ahead and draw that small boundary to say, I need to start this day with God, and to give him everything. And we can have a plan that is already on plan E by breakfast.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that 5 minutes of gathering our resources and knowing confidently that God isn't going to give us something more than we can handle that day by his grace. Yes. But if we're not tapping into his grace, we're already done.
We're defeated at that point, right?
Well, all right, Claire, we are ready for that wisdom you're going to give us.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe one or two physical, emotional, just...
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just want to jump on what Kimberly said about taking time in the morning for prayer. Really quick, that's something in the last few years I have made that a non-negotiable. Get up early, and usually it's before the kids get up, but if it's not, they know what I'm doing in my little prayer spot, and I think it's good for them to see that. That's modeling something for them, too. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, staying close to the sacraments. But because we're whole people, we have other needs, too. And physically, it's so important to take care of ourselves. It carries over into every area of our life. Out here in the desert, I find it so important. I just have to drink water. Like, it's such a simple thing, but I have to take care of myself. The way that I eat, getting enough sleep. You know, and I think sometimes it seems like common sense.
Yes.
But for a lot of women, it's the hardest thing. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's because women are caregivers, and especially when we're in those years where we're primarily caring for young children, or a lot of women are caring now for older parents.
Yes.
And we put ourselves last. Right. Mm-hmm. We don't take the time. And then emotionally, too, I have found that I have to make time to be with other women of faith. Mm-hmm. It's so important for my emotional stability and well-being. And luckily, I have an incredible group at my church, and we just gather every week and pray and study. And it just brings me back into wholeness, and I can be a better person for my family.
Yeah, I think the goal is not how do I get away from my family, but how do I fill my cup, let the Lord fill my cup, have my husband fill my cup, so that I have more to give. It isn't primarily selfish. It is really self-care, and I think that's an important phrase to use. And I think we need our husbands to encourage us in this.
Yes.
They often have the perspective we need. They can see the demands on us and how constant they are, and our need for refreshment, not again so that we can be self-centered, but rather so that we take care of ourselves in order to have more to give. Mm-hmm. And it's something we want to plant in the hearts of our daughters.
Yes, they pay attention.
They're
watching. We are setting the example of how they will have their own self-care when they're getting older. And so they kind of look to mommy as their frame of reference in the beginning of that femininity and that womanhood.
Yeah. And I think if we can look for opportunities to kind of do twofers, it really goes a long way. For instance, if I'm walking with a good friend, I'm both exercising, I'm getting tips, I'm sharing prayer concerns, and I come in the house so energized, not drained, but energized because I've had that time with friends, I'm feeling better physically, and I know it's done something good.
I like that, the two first.
Yeah.
You know, two birds with one stone,
or
ladies.
You put a baby in a stroller, and then you're also giving the child fresh air and exercise, and you're getting exercise.
Yes. I want to speak specifically to the heart of the woman at home, ladies, and we all know we've done this, especially those that have had multiple children, to that maybe young mom who is at home with multiple children. Maybe she just had a baby, and she feels like she's just in a rut.
Mm.
Her house is a mess. She's got the laundry going, like everything's going on, and it's like, how on earth do you even think about yourself in that moment? Like, there's so much, you know, and I've had those days. I've had those moments where it's just like, Lord, really, please just help me right now, because I'm drowning and I don't want anyone to know because I'm ashamed. You know, and you think you're the only one, but you're not. That's the lie. And the lie that I've seen that's very consistent among women that have these big families and little ones, and they didn't grow up with that Kimberly Hahn kind of mom, you know, that they they don't know what to do or how to handle it, but they're ashamed of it and they don't want other people to see. So it's harder for them to ask for help. So outside they have it all together, but then they come home and it's just like, you're kind of falling apart. Like, to those women to get help, how do you get them out of that rut? Because they're in this rut, and even spiritually they're in a rut. And it's just like, there's times where I didn't want to work out, or I didn't want to put my clothes on and dress up. I just stayed in my sweats and my slippers and like my hair's in the bun. And it's like, those are the days where I think you really have to just say, okay, what's going to be best? Because if I go in the bathroom and I change my clothes, I do my hair, I put my makeup on. And that's one thing, my little tip for you is that I get dressed every day. I do my hair, I put my makeup on, I put on something cute, not always high heels. I'm running around with the kids, but it makes me feel better about myself. I'm not being vain. It doesn't make me less holy because I'm taking care of the outer part of me. Like, I feel like that's a holy thing too, because we frankly want to make Catholic look good. So what advice do you have for those women at home? So if there's a really good just nugget that you can give from each of you before we have to wrap up, that you can speak to that woman at home, because I know what that's like and it is a hard place to be.
Yeah. So real quick, I would say, first of all, you can't compare yourself.
Thank you.
To other women.
Huge.
God has
no
given
comparing.
You, yeah. God has given you your life, your children, your state, and
reason.
He will take care of you in it. And self-care looks different in different seasons.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So you know what? It may not be your time to be at the gym for 5 hours a week.
Yes.
But maybe you could go for a walk.
Yeah.
And take a shower.
Fresh
and
air.
And get dressed.
Change the scenery.
And a nap. And that might be your, you know, regimen for self-care in that season of your life. And then other times it might be a week-long retreat. I'm not there yet, you know, but I'm waiting someday. And so just, you know, take advantage of those, what God does, you know, give you to refresh yourself and renew yourself, and He will.
And I would tag team onto that, take up people on their offers.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of young moms who feel like, oh, no, I'm home full time. This has to all be on me. And if I can't do it, then I need to fail on my own. And I would say, no, this is a gift from God. When people offer to bring over a meal, when they offer to maybe watch the children so you could get a date night out. And speaking as an older woman, I would say to the older women who are watching, are you noticing who could use a small amount of help? You know, can you slip someone some cash to say, this is towards your next date night? Or could, you know, I could easily stop over for 2 hours on Friday night and watch a movie with your children so you and your husband can get a date without having to pay a sitter too. Or we could pick up on the needs around us. And if, like me, you don't have your married children around, there are other people's married children around who could just use that lift. And I think we can offer that.
There's something to be said about going on a date with your husband, like getting really dressed up, putting on a nice dress and getting those heels on. And when I've done that with Jason, I'm like, honey, I actually feel like a woman today. Like, sometimes you just are like in that mom frumpy mode. And sometimes just to take that time and even to have a date night, maybe in the house, like just going and doing that, or going out with your girlfriends, you know, and just getting dressed up and going and having dinner. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, ladies, as you've all heard, it's hard to take care of yourself. It's not something easy. Even just as simple as getting dressed sometimes in the morning. It's easier just to throw those sweats on and go. And as I said before, but let's really dive into what is self-care. What does that really look like? Well, there are 8 main areas of self-care. There is physical, psychological, emotional, social, professional, environmental, even spiritual, and even financial, because the financial part can weigh on you mentally, and stress and not sleeping, that affects a lot of things. So the movement of your body, just making sure you're getting that exercise, being healthy with your nutrition, sleeping right, resting. You are the only one that knows what you truly need. And women especially, and me being a mom of 8 children and very high demanding lifestyle that I live, it's hard sometimes for me to say, Crystalina, what do you need? Then I'm able to give things to everybody else, give myself to everybody else, but a stronger me. But when I let myself and my cup isn't full and I know that I'm not sleeping right or I'm not eating right or I haven't exercised in a while or I'm not happy with a part of my life, that's where I'm telling you, I go and I take spiritual inventory. I go into adoration with Jesus. I get a notepad and I'm like, okay, Lord, I need to reevaluate this. And so I would encourage you maybe today on a Saturday, get a journal, ladies. Get a notepad and go to adoration if you can. That is the best place on earth to honestly really take a hard look at your life and say, what do I need? And this is not in a selfish way. This is not in a way of, well, forget everybody else. It's going to be all about me. No, it's nothing like that. But what does Crystalina need? What does Megan need? What does Julie need? Whoever you are out there listening, maybe God is asking you to really go with him and say, Jesus, what do I need in my life? And maybe it's not something I need to get or something I need to do. Maybe it's something you need to get rid of to have that healthy self-care, that mental self-care. Maybe there's a bad relationship that you're in. Maybe you're dating someone who is not good for you and you know it and your family has told you, but you're scared to try to move forward and live your life without that person. Self-care looks different for everybody, but if you don't know what it is you need to do and you're just going through the motions of life, you're not going to be living your best life. You're going to be going through the motions, numb, hoping things are going to get better, but nothing's going to get better unless you change it. And nothing has to stay the same. Nothing does. And it really will take your willpower, your determination, and that grit that God has given you to maybe face those hard things and to overcome them. And maybe just pick one thing for a month. If it's you want to feel better about your physical or maybe it's your mental health and you know, maybe for 1 month, I will try getting a counselor. You can even do it online. Or maybe for that 1 month, you're going to take a fast and a break from that person. And you're going to detox and just step back and reevaluate your relationship, your dating relationship, and say, is this truly good for me and best for me and making me happy? And that's not selfish. Completely dying to yourself for other people isn't always virtuous either, because you could be dying to yourself in the wrong ways that are not benefiting your life. And so maybe I just really encourage you and I invite you and give you this invitation, ladies, really take a hard look at your life and just say, what do you need? Is it sleep? Is it maybe an amazing bath tonight? Or is it a glass of wine and a good book? Whatever it is, don't be afraid to do it. St. Augustine, I love this quote. He says, take care of your body as if it were going to live forever and take care of your soul as if you were going to die tomorrow. I think that covers a lot of the basis there, right? I think it really does. And for those of you that are married, really the second half of this show is about your marriage and taking care of your marriage. Because if anyone knows, I know it can be very difficult in marriage and very disheartening. And I don't care what age you are. I don't care if you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s. There's still changes and things that you can do to benefit and make your marriage better if there are certain things that you don't like, or go in that deeper relationship with your husband. Because sometimes, especially when you have a big family and a lot of kids, you kind of can get in a rut and it's really easy to kind of just keep going with the flow, but maybe just to stop and reevaluate and really look, because you and your husband are one. And so how you take care of yourself, ladies, will affect your relationship and it will affect your husband in a good or bad way. And so you have to kind of look at it at that. So the second half of the show is really going to be dedicated more to marriage and yourself and what you can do within your marriage and how you can help your marital relationship. But above all, with all of that being said, ladies, really with all my heart, I just invite you to take a nice, long, hard, sober look at your lives and pick one thing and say, what do I need? What do I need to do? Or what do I need to get rid of? Or what is on my heart that God is asking me to do is really the biggest question of all. And don't be afraid of it, but embrace it. It's a new year. It could be a new life. It could be a whole new way of living. But I encourage you, go to adoration, go to confession, see what Jesus has for you, and just spend some time with him today. God bless. And now we're going to get into a nice segment with Dr. Kimberly Chapione about how you can take care of yourself.
Self-care does not mean that you are being selfish. Self-care means you're taking care of yourself, both mentally and physically. I want you to think about when you're on an airplane and it's about ready to taxi. And just before they taxi, they start talking about the safety demonstration. What do they tell you? In case of an emergency, put on your oxygen mask. But first do it for yourself, then help others. Well, the same is true within your marriage and your family. As a wife and a mother, you have to take care of yourself both physically and mentally. If you don't, you're going to start to feel a little yucky. And that little yucky can often feel like depression and anxiety, and that creates negative cognitions. Negative cognitions are beliefs that I'm unattractive, I'm not good enough, I'm worthless. When you have these negative beliefs and you are in isolation, it will only make it worse. Taking care of your body, taking care of your mind. Praying. These are the things that you can do to make yourself feel better. However, if it's not enough, always seek help. When you seek help, you're able to work with someone to understand those negative cognitions, how to take care of yourself, so that you start to begin that, I am attractive, I am good enough, I can do this. Now remember that if you are experiencing anything today that you don't like, tomorrow you can change with the grace of God.
Welcome back to Women Made New, and we are here with Kimberly, and I want to jump right into submission. That is a huge thing, and submission is maybe being less than, or like maybe being under or cowering under your husband, and that he's in charge and he makes all these decisions for you. And it's really just twisted and distorted these days, that word. So please tell me your thoughts on submission.
Yeah, this is an important one, and we're both strong women. Yeah. So the concept is not an easy one for either one of us, but it's so important we understand what St. Paul's really getting at in Ephesians 5. Mm-hmm. He leads in with, be submissive one to the other, and then he gives the example of Christ and the church. So there is a way, and St. John Paul II talked about this, there is a way in which both husband and wife are under Christ, working on mutual submission to him. Mm-hmm. But how that plays out in the marriage relationship is that one is the head of the home and the other is the heart of the home. Mm-hmm. It is a dance. It is a dance. And if you ever do formal dancing like a waltz, someone has to lead. And what that passage in Ephesians 5 makes clear is that it's God's plan, and it's been his plan from the beginning, that the husband, the father, is the leader in the home, the leader overall, but especially the spiritual leader of the home. Now, the interesting thing to me is I believe that men should respect their wives, but wives are specifically commanded to respect their husbands, okay? They're really commanded to do that. So it's something we need to work on. Wives are to love their husbands, but husbands are specifically commanded to love their wives, and not just love their wives like Christ loved the church, which is sacrificial to the point of death. We're not just talking about getting up in the middle of the night to walk a baby who's fussy. We're talking about real sacrifice. And it's he is to nourish his wife and cherish his wife.
Yeah, it's not a one-way street. I think that's what they think submission. It's like you said, it's a dance. It goes both ways. And being the heart of the home, that is a really intimidating statement for me, because what does that even mean, being the heart of the home? And I never saw a woman be submissive to a man growing up. Not once. And so for me, coming into marriage and even... that's difficult, like being submissive and being respectful. I've struggled with that. I'll be honest. I have literally struggled with that, because it's like I feel less than or not empowered, or what, I'm confused because I grew up in a society that was so different and family was so different. And
yeah,
a lot of women really do struggle. So
let me tell you a couple things.
I want to know about respect too, like your tidbits on respect.
Yeah.
And how you respect your husband.
Well, let me tell you what submission is not.
Yes.
Submission is not my coming to Scott and saying, how should I think? How should I act? How should I? I mean,
yes, you're not a dummy,
I'm not his child.
Yes.
Okay.
I like that.
So the submission is, and I'll give you the example, because the example is, I am an authority under authority. Within the Trinity, We have the Father who sends the Son. Co-equal, both fully God, and yet the Son subordinates himself by choice to the Father. The Father and the Son send the Spirit. So the Spirit responds to the authority of the Father and the Son, and yet the Spirit is every bit the same God. We are equally, man and women, we are equally made in the likeness and image of God. We equally fell and we're in need of salvation. And man and woman, we are equally saved by Jesus Christ. There's no inferiority implied in submission. Okay, so we don't need to kick against something to say, what do you mean I'm under authority? There is a blessing being under authority. God has decided, and it was from the beginning before the fall, it's reiterated when he goes through the curses in Genesis 3, that a man will want to dominate his wife. That's the sinful part. And the wife will want to resist that and dominate her husband. That's a consequence of sin. That's not how it was supposed to be from the very beginning. From the beginning, he was still to lead. And so Ephesians 5 tells us that if we focus on our part, if I focus on demonstrating respect, especially in front of the children, building Scott up, affirming decisions, instead, like when he says, let's pray a family rosary, I don't go into my, oh, it's really not a good time, you know, let's plan it for later, you know. It's not that I can't sensitize him to something, but I can be quick to think of a better plan. What I want to do is build him up, and I want to encourage him. He's risked something, offering spiritual leadership. I want to respond to that, you know. And he needs to look for ways to sacrificially love, to lay down his life for me. And that is not only important for our children, it is a witness to the world because it gives the world a picture of this relationship between Christ and the church. Now, is the church just as submissive to Christ as Christ is to the church? No. Christ is the head of the church.
Yes.
And yet, does that make the church something less? No, it's what allows the church to just be in splendor because of his love and his sacrificial redemption of her. So I would, my word to young women is, do not take this as an affront. This is God's plan. It's what gives peace, even in a couple where the man is not a Christian. We know from 1 Peter 3, you know, a woman can win her husband to the faith because of her gentle and submissive spirit.
What are maybe three top practical things that women can do today in their household to start living this out, to start bringing that essence in that we're talking about?
Well, I think the dinner table is a key. And one of the things we do is we share a good thing of the day. Everybody has to say a good thing, even a two-year-old who can only say, my good thing. And everyone gets quiet because we learn to listen.
Listen.
To each other. We learn to share. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate even the smallest little thing that might be a good thing for every individual. It also changes the conversation to be more positive.
The second thing.
Decide what you're cooking for dinner or providing for dinner
in advance.
In advance.
Yes.
So that you have peace in giving it instead of going into the 5 o'clock panic. Oh no,
That's right.
I thaw really fast? Or
Third thing.
Third thing, each task you do, as you're doing that for a family member, ask God to give you grace to do this in his strength. And in particular, as I iron, my mother said, you know, pray for the person that when they wear that item, they will honor me in what they say and what they do. Everything can be redeemed. Everything can be made, brought into a more beautiful expression of our love as we give it to God, so that we're focused on loving the individual, not the service that is required.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break with our friends at EWTN, and we will be right back, so stay tuned. Welcome back. Thank you for joining me here at Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett, and we are going to get right into it again with Kimberly Hahn. And this time we are going to be talking about marriage and self-care and also taking care of your marriage is part of that self-care. Because if something's going on with your marriage, I don't know about you, but it can really just eat you up and bother you. And it's just not good when you are having marital problems or you're not at peace with your husband. So I thought it would be good to also talk about those of you that are married, that your self-care is part of also taking care of your marriage and your significant other. So here we go. We're going to get right into it with Kimberly Hahn.
Welcome back, ladies. We are here. It's such a treat with Kimberly Hahn. Thank you so much for being here in our Women Made studio.
Really happy to be here.
We just got a question from Hannah, and it was about submission and what are the qualities of a good Catholic wife. But I actually want to go a little bit deeper than that, too, okay. Of what are the qualities of a traditional Catholic wife? Because I didn't grow up with that. And a lot of women that are watching are casualties of the 60s, I would like to call us, because a lot of our mothers did not want to stay home and be those homemakers. They didn't want to stay home and be those traditional Catholic wives or even the traditional homemaker that you think of back in the 1950s. You know, I grew up in a broken home. I saw a lot of divorce and a lot of just brokenness. And I think my generation came from that. Mm-hmm. And when I think of a homemaker, I don't even know where to start with that. Like when I'm in my own home, I feel very handicapped. So what are those traits? What are those traditions? What are those things that make that homemaker, the essence of a Catholic wife, per se?
Yeah. I want to start with who we are, and I know you've done shows on this, but before we have a particular role in a relationship in marriage, we first are a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so as that daughter of God, we enter into our marriage with a man who has a heart for God as well. Part of why he trusts us, why we can trust him, is that we trust our Lord who's brought us together, and we both know what it is to submit our lives to him mm-hmm. together. So when we get married, it's more than just a change of where we live and more than just a change of name. It's actually an entire new relationship. I have never before been a wife. I've been a girlfriend, yes. I've been a fiance, but I've not been a wife.
It's a whole new world.
It is.
And I think it's going to click when you get into your home, and it's just all going to come to you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't.
And it doesn't. No, I remember even going through the grocery store and thinking, okay, what are the commercials for you know, cleaning products? Because I couldn't remember exactly what I should buy to have to clean a toilet, to clean a bathroom. I was taught some things by my mom. There are other things that I wasn't taught, and I had to pick up on my own. So it's a new relationship, being a wife and a husband, and a new potential relationship, which is to become a mother, to become a father.
Yes.
So homemaking is not just making an apartment or a home pretty. It's actually making a dwelling, a haven where we are welcoming back our spouse and then eventually our children from the storms of life. It's making it a sanctuary, a place of peace and order and beauty. This, you know, I grew up in the 60s when feminists were coming to the fore and saying, you can't trap me at home. You know, they made it seem like home was a cage women had to break out of.
It's a shameful thing. And even
yes.
now, these days, it's like, well, what, you're not going to use your brain? You're going to stay home and what, be a homemaker?
Yeah, be the unpaid maid.
Yes, yes, thank you.
Know? And what I want to say is, no, I've been invited to be the queen of my realm.
Queen of the realm, ladies. That's what this is all about. That was beautifully said.
It
yes.
really is. That we serve as a queen, co-regent with our spouse, but again, under the king.
Yes.
I mean, there's that protection and shelter and covering that our spouse represents. And then we have the opportunity to bring our time, our talents, our skills, our abilities to influence what is the very haven that is our home. It is home, making, literally making a home, not just a house.
What are some of the things that you do in the Han home that make that refuge, make that sanctuary that you've done, that you've built these traditions on? Maybe you can give us one or two little inside looks there.
A couple of examples. Well, one thing, we've really worked hard at having a dinner hour. Really worked at this.
You have to fight for that.
You do.
Oh,
I mean,
my.
People schedule sports practices and theater practices, and they assume that there's no such thing as a sacrosanct hour. But there needs to be time where you regroup from the day, even if you have activities in the evening.
Just touch base with each other.
Yeah, and a homemade meal.
That's a little intimidating, even the fact you say, like, a homemade meal. Well, what if you don't cook? That's why the homemaker. Like, there's an intimidation there because I came into marriage. I didn't know how to cook. I didn't know how to do anything, ladies. I came in, I felt like with one leg here. Like, I didn't know. No one taught me. I thought, I don't even know if I'm going to get married one day. All husbands leave anyway. Like, this really broken outlook on what a marriage was supposed to be like and what a woman was supposed to bring to the table. And it was this empowerment and I don't know, going and working at corporations and building empires when it's actually, no, actually your power, women, is in the home. It's with your family. It's with your husband. They're the gifts that God has given us in our femininity and being a woman and being that wife that I feel like we've thrown out the door. And that's where our strength is. That's where God's beauty wants us to show the world that what women are really here for, right?
And you have to take that risk. It's a risk to be willing to be home, to not be building up your own career at the same time, because you're trusting that your spouse is providing for the family one way, you're providing another way. Yes. This is not about he gets to have the career, I'm stuck at home.
Yes.
It is he is serving the family by providing the finances. I am serving the family by helping coordinate those finances, helping to build those finances, helping to stretch those finances to meet the needs. And they have shown, studies have shown that men whose wives are the ones who are the primary caretakers of their children do better in their careers because they have peace. There's no nanny cam that's needed. There's no, you know what I'm saying? There is an intangible element of peace and security and knowing the well-being of the children is cared for that actually helps men do better in their career. But again, it's not about he's getting to that and I'm stuck at home, or men looking and saying, well, she gets to play with the children and I'm stuck out in the workforce.
That's right.
Both are serving in a complementary, not a competitive, a complementary fashion for the upbuilding of their family unit.
Understanding your roles in a marriage. This is a challenging one because oftentimes we don't know what our roles are going to be in a marriage. What do you want your marriage to look like? How do you want to establish those roles? It's very important to know and to understand that marriage is constantly evolving. And with that constant evolution of your marriage, you're going to have to redefine your roles. Perhaps 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, the roles in a traditional marriage were very simple. The dads went to work, the mom stayed home. Those things have changed now that a lot of times that moms have to work and go outside of the home. So how will you decide on those roles? Well, you need to communicate that with your spouse, because if you don't, there's going to be a lot of assumptions, and with assumptions comes confusion, and with confusion comes hurt feelings. So you need to discuss, what are your likes, what are your dislikes, and come up with that together as a team. And when you're discussing that as a team, you need to communicate, and communicate with the intent to listen. And as you listen to your partner, you really want to listen and find out what they're experiencing. Also, don't listen to respond, because when you listen to respond, you're not really paying attention. So, when they're done communicating, ask clarifying questions. Figure out what's going on. Validate their experience. Communicate with each other, and know that this is going to be a constant conversation you're going to have. I do invite you to explore this. If you start to struggle, you can always reach out for help, maybe get some marriage counseling for somebody to help you figure out these roles and what you like and what you don't like. And always remember that whatever you're experiencing today can be changed and different tomorrow with the grace of God.
I want to thank my guests today for being here at Women Made New. I know this was a really packed show and you got a lot of really good information. And I also wanted to talk quickly before we left about your feelings towards other people, especially someone that's really hurt you in your life. Because when you have a lot of unforgiveness in your heart, that's also something that can eat away at you, no matter how healthy you try to be on the outside and take care of your physicality and even your spirituality. If there's kind of that disease of unforgiveness in your heart, just festering, and even in your soul, it really can eat away at you and ruin so many things, ruin relationships, ruin how you deal with people, wondering if they're going to hurt you too. And you're not able to get into those relationships the way God wants you to, or He's asking you to do something, but maybe fear holds you back from doing that out of fear of getting hurt again. And I know in my own life, in my own personal experience, especially in some of my childhood that I brought with me throughout my life of just hurts that God has blessed me with forgiving those people. It's something that really affected me. It affected my relationships. It affected my relationship with Jason. It even affected my relationships with my children, of really kind of holding myself back of fear of being hurt. And when I was able to really give those hurts over to Jesus and really able to face those hurts and forgive those people, if they know it or not, it really changed who I was as a person. And I know it can help you. And there are some problems that you in your life that I know you really don't understand sometimes. And it's like, God, why do I have this cross? Why am I going through this? Why is this so difficult? Why is this so heavy? Everybody has those issues. Everybody goes through those times in their life. And there's a quote from Mother Angelica where she says, if you have a problem in your life that you can't fathom or understand, you have to examine your prayer life and not the problem. And it's so true. And those times where I'm really frustrated or angry or overwhelmed, or just I really can't grasp what is happening, I really do need to take a spiritual inventory of what is happening. How much time have I spent with Jesus? When's the last time I went to confession, adoration, and really hash things out with Jesus, really talk to Him about the problem instead of talking to everybody else around me about the problem, to actually pray about the problem, to go to Jesus with the problem. And that is self-care right there. And that's your spirituality and taking care of your soul. And the most important relationship you have on earth is your relationship with Jesus. And how are you nurturing that and giving time to that? And especially during the holidays for me, and our whole family got so sick on such a level, and I don't think I've ever been so sick in my entire life. It really took me out and it was scary, but I got through it. Our family got through it. And it was a time where I just really prayed and I was clean to God in that time. And it was so difficult, and Christmas wasn't necessarily the same, and how I did certain things, and it was really frustrating. But those are the times where you really cling to God and you go to your relationship and you kind of have that spiritual check-in and just, okay, Lord, what's going on? What's happening right now? And maybe some of you need to do that and reevaluate. And it's not always about your physical health, but sometimes it's about your spiritual health or your mental health. So just really think about that and where you're at with Jesus right now. And to carry around just some unforgiveness or hurts that you've had in your life. I read another quote that was beautiful that Mother Angelica said. And she said, our lack of forgiveness makes us hate, and our lack of compassion makes us hardened of heart.
Pride in our hearts makes us resentful, and it keeps our memory in a constant whirlwind of passion and self-pity, which is so true. And I've experienced all of those things. So if you relate to that, please, maybe today, go to confession. There's confession all over the country to the churches near you, Catholic churches that are open, and to get right with God. And I've said this time and time again, that it is so, there's no more important relationship than to be right with God. Nothing on earth is more important than to being right with God and going to bed in that peace of your heart, knowing that God's got this and God's got you and He's going to get you through anything. But you got to have that faith. You got to go to Him and you got to give Him everything, no matter good, bad, ugly, no matter what it is. Just always give it to Jesus. And I know with all my heart, He will bless you for that. He will bless you. But always, in all things, pray, give it to Jesus, bring Him into it. And sometimes you have to put yourself first in order to take care of others. So maybe this week, just think about how you can take care of you. And part of that is how you can take care of your relationship and go deeper with Jesus. So know you are in my prayers. And before we go, we are going to hear from our dear friend, Matt Fratt. And know I'm going to be praying for you as well. And for all things Catholic, I would download the EWTN app, especially in this new year, and always be updated on the latest Catholic news and events and things going on in the world. So I hope you're doing well. You know you're in my prayers, and Happy New Year, everyone. God bless.
When I think about what I wish I knew before marriage, I guess I wish I knew that things wouldn't be perfect. And so I might have an idea of how things should look, like how our prayer life should look as a family, you know, how like the laundry and the house would be, you know, folded and cleaned, and how our sex life would be. You know, like you have these ideas and you may not articulate them, they might not be fully formed, but then when you encounter like humanity, the bugger, isn't it? It just kind of gets in the way. And I remember being really disheartened, and I would have these ideas, you know, like I bet Scott and Kimberly Hahn's kids, they're all kneeling down and praying the rosary. Meanwhile, when I try and pray the rosary with my kids, I have to pray not to strangle them with it. That's not good. You know, I might be exaggerating, but only a little bit, you know? So I wish I had known just to chill a little bit, and that it's okay to be human, you know, and it's okay for things to be messy. And that doesn't mean they can't be beautiful and good and true, but they'll be messy. But, you know, if somebody had told me that before marriage, I don't know if I could have heard them. So maybe what I wish I had known before marriage is that it was a good idea to be in relationship with holy married couples that were further along than me, that I could turn to for advice and for support, and who could let me know, you know, that it's okay, you know, to get that guidance.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.